So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 17th chapter, text 24. Okay. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Sudustaran. Na. Swan. Pahi. Kalagnehe. Suhriddaha. Prabho. Na. Shaknumas twach charanam sanjaktum akuto vayam sudushtananna swanpahi kalagne surida prabho Na shaknu mas twas charanam santyaktum akuto bhayam sudushtaranna swanbhahi kalagne surada prabho na shak Numas twatscharanam santyaktum akutobayam sudushtaranna swanpahi kalagne sureda prabho nashaknumas twatscharanam Santyaktum akuto vayam. Okay. Sudushtarat, from the insurmountable. Naha, us. Swam, your own devotees. Pahi, please protect. Kala Agnehe, from the fire of death. Suhridaha, your true friends. Prabho, O Supreme Master. Na shaknumaha, we are incapable. Twat charanam, your feet. Santyaktum, to give up. Akutabhayam, which drive away all fear. So translation, O Lord, we are your true friends and devotees. Please protect us from this insurmountable fire of death. We can never give up your lotus feet, which drive away all fear. You can repeat. O Lord, We are your true friends and devotees. Please protect us from this insurmountable fire of death. We can never give up your lotus feet, which drive away all fear. So, purport by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The residents of Vrindavan told Krishna, if this deadly fire overcomes us, we will be separated from your lotus feet, and this is unbearable for us. Therefore, just so that we can go on serving your lotus feet, please protect us. So I'm going to read the commentaries by the acharyas here. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Kalagni here means the fire, which is death personified. Quote, if we die, separation from your lotus feet will be intolerable. Therefore, we say that we cannot give up your lotus feet. And then Jiva Goswami states, we are your relatives or belong to you, Swan. We are splendid friends, Suridha, fixed on you alone by genuine sentiments. O person who can do anything, Prabhu, because of your feet, fear cannot exist, Akuto Vayam. Destroy our fear of having to give up your feet. They pray not to be separated, this is in parentheses, they pray not to be separated from Krishna rather than simply praying for their lives. We cannot, for a moment, San, become separated, Chaktum, from your feet. So again the verse. Sudushtaranna swanpahi kalagne surada prabho na shaknumas tvacharanam santyaktum okuto bhayam. So, omagana timadandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So it's very interesting. The residents in Vrindavan here are showing their unalloyed devotion for Krishna and their mood of anxiety over impending separation. And so this is a topic that's quite interesting and very much connected to our Krishna conscious society. And of course, we find devotees praying that if they have to die, they don't want to be separated from Krishna. There's many statements like, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, manma janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhakti ahoy tagi tvaye. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who states, kita janma hoy yata tuya das, that even if I have to be born again, I want to be born again as a servant of yours, but even if it's a body of a worm, it's okay with me. Kita janma hoy yata tuya das. And then he says, I'm not even interested in being born as Lord Brahma. Varir mukha nahi ash. Brahma janme varir mukha janme nash. So I don't want to be born even as Lord Brahma. That is the biggest, most powerful person in the universe if I'm not your devotee. And so there's many statements about this. And also, in relationship not only to Krishna, that's also in relationship to Krishna's devotees. When it was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was having a discussion with Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari River, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what is the most painful thing? And you would think, oh, the most painful thing is to be in the hospital. Or the most painful thing is to have your, let's say, wife or husband leave you. Some cases it's not painful, but anyway. The most painful thing is to get in a car accident. The most painful thing is this or that or death. But the description given by Ramananda Roy is that the most painful thing is what? To be separated from the devotees, to have not devotee association. And, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked about the quality of a Vaishnava, he said, a satsanga chage Vaishnava char, that a Vaishnava gives up bad association, and then one understands he takes good association. So Anyway, so this is the intense mood of a devotee, like for impending separation, and what to speak of separation. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested humility, of course, many times. But one time he was, let's say he was praised by saying that you have so much love for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, how could I have love for Krishna? Because if I actually love Krishna, I would not be able to live in this world without Krishna. It's interesting. So this is the intense love. And then also, one time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami replied, Krishna's in your heart. And then what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begin to do? He took out his hands, and he began to tear at his chest, actually injuring himself or beginning to injure himself. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami grabbed his hands and stopped him from doing that. Because he was thinking, Krishna's in my heart, I have to see him, So this intense hankering is very, very important. Intense emotions are very, very important in Krishna consciousness. So, just like intense emotions are what take us away from Krishna, as Rupa Goswami states in the Upadesha Amrita, Achyahara Prayasa Cha Bajapan Yamagra Janasangash Talalyam Cha Sadbir Bhaktir Vinashati. He describes the things that take us away from Krishna, and one of them is intense hankering for what? Material things. I must have. Intense hankering. So, I was thinking about this particular verse of how the residents of Vrindavan, and particularly the gopis, and other residents of Vrindavan, could not bear the thought of being separated from Krishna, and actually were not very much concerned with their own physical welfare, whether they would leave their bodies or not. Their actual concern was being separated from Krishna. So there's an actually interesting story in the Lalita Madhava that shows their detachment from leaving their bodies when they were separated from Krishna. And I'm going to tell a little bit of that story from my notes here, the Lalita Madhava. Anyone's interested in hearing the whole Lalita Madhava, it's available on iskondesiretree.com under my name, and I did a recitation of the whole Lalita Madhava. So here's the story, very interesting story of how this illustrates the point that actually they're not attached to simply maintaining their lives. Quite interesting. A pure devotee, of course, not really attached to maintaining his life, his or her life. They're attached to being with Krishna and serving Krishna. So, the story starts, once upon a time, this person who is not cruel. Does anyone know who that person is? The person who is not cruel. Akrura. It's actually a sarcastic name, isn't it? Because he's the most cruel. And actually, he got cursed by the gopis anyway. But there's another story about that. So Krura comes to Vrindavan at the behest of Kamsa, and he takes Krishna away. And we know as Krishna is leaving, the gopis are trying to impede the progress of the chariot. They're lying down on the road. And Akrura has to sort of zigzag to avoid running over the gopis. This is so much devotion, isn't it? I mean, that's one point. I mean, who would actually lie down in the path of a car to stop someone, their beloved, from going away? I mean, that's really intense, isn't it? That's risking your life. So that's the first point. I mean, there's many instances. Because this story is a story of basically extreme separation, the feelings of extreme separation from Krishna, and the willingness of the gopis in particular to just like give up everything, renounce everything, or give up their bodies just to be with Krishna. So, then when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, not only are the gopis bereft, but it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, this is a play, of course, that the Manasi Ganga, which is the lake that came from Krishna's mind, becomes dried up out of separation. Because everything in Vrindavan is conscious. The trees are conscious, the ground is conscious, the prasadam you eat is conscious. You don't digest it and turn it into something horrible like we do in the material world. Everything is conscious. So everything was lamenting. Every person, well, of course they're all persons, were lamenting Krishna's separation. And it's described also that Govardhan started to shrink. You know, we know that whole story about Govardhan being cursed by Palastra Muni, isn't it, to shrink by the size of one mustard seed every day. But actually, that's just an external story, not an internal story. The real reason that Govardhan is disappearing and the real reason that Jamuna is actually disappearing and practically speaking non-existent now because all the water is blocked up above Delhi. Even now, even though the devotees are thinking right now the Jamuna is clear because there's no industrial stuff going into the Jamuna, it's still not the Jamuna. It's still like the sewerage from Delhi because the Jamuna is being diverted. So anyway, apart from that, so you see the Govardhan Hill is actually disappearing out of separation from Krishna. So this is an intense mood. So then what happens is that Radha and Vishakha, they jump into the Yamuna and drown themselves. Amazing. And of course, this story illustrates their love. Whether it's to be taken allegorically or metaphorically is another point. But Rupa Goswami, in his play, is bringing out the bhavs or the emotions of the residents of Vrindavan. And so, in other words, they can't bear to live without Krishna, and so they leave their bodies, jump into the Jamuna. And Lalita can't bear to live without Krishna and Radha, and she jumps from Govardhan Hill. To leave her. Well, actually, they have transcendental bodies, so it's a pastime. Okay. So, in any case, so let's go back to Radha and Vishakha drowning in Yamuna. So the Yamuna River is very interesting because the Yamuna, that Yamuna Devi and the Yamuna River, in one sense, not in one sense, but practically, is the daughter of the sun god. And also, another sibling of Yamuna Devi is Yamaraj. Sometimes it's mentioned if you take shelter of the Yamuna, then you won't have to see Yamaraj. Yama and Yami. Sometimes it's described like that. Yama and Yami. So therefore, Radharani, who jumps into the Yamuna, is taken by the sun god. Instead of, you know, leaving her body like we have ordinary material bodies, we jump into the Yamuna to drown, we will drown, and our bodies will remain in the Yamuna. But anyway, she's taken back. She's taken by the sun god. And Rukmi, yeah, that's right, that's interesting. Rukmi arrives, the brother of Rukmini, and takes Chandravali, who is actually Rukmini, back to Vidarbha, and because Chandravali or Rukmini is the daughter of King Bhishmaka. Anyway, and 16,100 gopis then become kidnapped by Bhomasura. Such an interesting story. Okay, fast forward. Now we go to Dwarka. So, as Krishna is in Dwarka, he marries his first wife, and that is Rukmini, when he kidnaps her from Vidarbha. And he promises King Bhishmaka, father of Rukmini, that he will not marry anyone else without Rukmini's permission. So you may think, what was he doing marrying all these people? Well, in those days, it was a different age, and you know, people were marrying a lot of wives, especially the kings. In this age of Kali, it's described that one is a great hero if he can maintain one wife, or one lady has one husband. But in other ages, things happen. Like you have polyandry in the case of in the case of the Pandavas, who are all married to Draupadi. Five husbands, pretty bad. Whew. It's bad enough having one. So anyway, so then what happens is very interesting. When Krishna is married to Rukmini, and he has promised her and promised her father he's not going to marry anyone else without her permission, he is given Satyabhama as a prospective wife. He doesn't marry her right now. Now, the interesting thing about Satyabhama is that she has been given to her father, Satyajit, by the sun god, and that's actually Radharani. You follow that? So Radharani's gone to the sun god. Not only has she gone to the sun god, but she has this jewel with her, which was previously the jewel of Shankachuda. And this jewel later becomes the Shaimantaka jewel. There's a whole story about that in the Krishna book. So basically, Radharani is now appearing as Satyabhama, but Krishna cannot marry her because he's promised Rukmini and Rukmini's father that he cannot marry her. So there's a problem. But Krishna is more tricky than this. Krishna has this place right near Dwarka called New Vrindavan, not the one in West Virginia. It's Nava Vrindavan. Same thing, Nava Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan. Why has it been constructed by Vishvakarma, who is the architect of the demigods? It's been constructed because Krishna feels so much separation from Vrindavan that it just reminds him of Vrindavan and helps him, helps placate his spiritual mind. Just like it's described about Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, when they were in Ramakeli, they actually constructed a replica of Vrindavan. Mm. And devotees do this often. I know in Australia, in New Govardhan, they actually have a replica of Govardhan Hill with all the different places like that. And many places in India, the devotees have done this to pacify their minds. So anyway, so Rukmini, who was married to Krishna at that time, meets Satyabhama, but is relieved to hear that Satyabhama, who is Radharani, remember that? Is relieved to hear that Satyabhama doesn't want to marry Krishna. And the reason she doesn't want to marry Krishna is that Radharani doesn't really know that Dwarkadish, who is Krishna, manifesting himself as, you know, the king in Dwarka, is actually the same Krishna that she knew in Vrindavan. She's thinking he's just some puffed up king. So she's not interested. Rukmini is very happy. Satyabhama doesn't understand that Krishna is the king there. She thinks Krishna is the king of Vrindavan. He's not the king of Dwarka. So, therefore, Satyabhama just, in order to pacify her mind, she goes into this new Vrindavan place. And she's thinking, oh, it's just like Vrindavan. At least, you know, I'm feeling a little peaceful here. I can remember Krishna here. And while she's there in this Nava Vrindavan or new Vrindavan place, she sees a big life-size deity of Krishna. And then she begins to decorate that life-size deity of Krishna. And so, as she's decorating the deity of Krishna, my God, not enough time to tell the story. I have to go fast. As she's decorating the deity of Krishna, she hears somebody coming, so she disappears, goes into the bushes because she doesn't want to be caught decorating the deity of Krishna. It's actually Krishna. Krishna sees the deity, and he's wondering who's decorating the deity so nicely. So he thinks, I want to find out who's decorating the deity so nicely. So he puts the deity in the bushes and puts on the same jewels and stands there, and she comes out of the bushes and continues to decorate Krishna. And she's thinking, boy, what an amazing deity. You know, it's real soft and everything like that. And then Krishna begins to speak, and she's speaking, and Krishna thinks that she's a deity of Radharani, and Radharani is thinking, yes, not Rukmini, that she's a deity of Radharani, and Radharani, who is Satyabhama, so I'm using these words interchangeably, Radharani, who is Satyabhama, is thinking that Krishna is just a deity, but really done nicely, constructed by Vishwakarma. And finally, they discover they're the real persons. And so at that point, they begin to have their, they begin to have their relationship. And there's many things that are described here in Lalita Madhava about their relationships in this Navabrindavan, hiding out from Rukmini. One thing is they go into a cave in one particular point and look at pictures of their Vrindavan pastimes. They're looking at pictures, and Krishna's teasing her. There's one picture on the wall of the cave of when Krishna stole the gopis' clothes, and Radharani is depicted there. And Krishna says to Radharani, Satyabhama, interchangeable. So he says to her that... who is that girl there? You know, it's a picture of a naked girl. Basically. And Radharani says, you know who that is. And then, anyway, so many things happen that we don't have the time to talk about. So Krishna basically wants to spend more time with Satyabhama after some time, and he lies to Rukmini, his wife. And he tells her that, you know, I got to spend some time with the sages in the forest. Rukmini's servant understands, whose name is Madhavi, understands what is happening. To show Rukmini what is actually happening, she switches the clothes of Rukmini and Satyabhama Radharani. So switches the clothes, and you know, they look very similar. And then Krishna begins to address Rukmini, his wife, calling her Satyabhama. And so he doesn't say the whole word because he says, my dear beloved Sat, and then this other personality named Navabrinda, who is Brinda Devi in this particular pastime, says to Krishna, no, that's Rukmini. You know, whispers in Krishna's ear. And Krishna goes, oh, Rukmini. So Krishna gets sort of caught in this whole exchange. Other times he gets caught because he actually reveals his intention to Satyabhama. He says, you know, we got to stay away from Rukmini. And a parrot overhears this. The parrot brings the information to Rukmini and repeats Krishna's words. And then Rukmini has a plan to separate them forever by sending Satyabhama away, far away. And so the parrot brings back that particular information to Satyabhama Radharani. Remember, that's identical, Satyabhama Radharani. Brings back the information to Satyabhama. And Satyabhama hears this, and when she hears this, she cannot bear to be separated from Krishna again. So at this point, you know, this is very much in line with the topic of the verse, that the gopis are not really interested in the welfare of their bodies. At this point, she runs away to drown herself a second time in this replica of the Kaliya Lake, which is basically in this Navabrindavan area. Kaliya Lake, of course, you know, we're talking about the Kaliya story the last few weeks. Kaliya is the serpent that killed so many residents in Vrindavan, so many trees and things like that, and the cows passed away. Of course, they were all revived by Krishna later on. So, very poisonous personality. And so, Radha, Satyabhama, runs to drown herself and be bitten by the snake. And she jumps in the lake. And when Krishna hears this, because she's ready to leave her body, because she doesn't want to be separated from Krishna again. This is the whole point. The intense emotions that she feels and the residents of Vrindavan feel. So Krishna jumps in the Kaliya Lake to save her, and she's just thinking, let the snakes bite me. Let this, you know, she's praying to Krishna or praying to God to let the snakes bite her. And then Krishna grabs her like this with his two long arms, which is sometimes described as like snakes. Because Krishna's blackish, you understand? That's why we say Black Lives Matter. So Krishna's blackish, and she looks at Krishna's arms and thinks, the snakes are there. Bite me, bite me. She's thinking, why don't they bite me already? And there are no real snakes in this lake anyway. So basically, and then Krishna saves her. And what happens is that Krishna has this Shaimantaka jewel. And the prediction was that until Radharani got back the Shaimantaka jewel, or Satyabhama got back the Shaimantaka jewel, then there would be this conflict. So then she gets the Shaimantaka jewel in her hand, and then everything becomes all right. Rukmini, who is actually Chandravali, recognizes Radharani as her sister. And Rukmini says, all right, you can get married to Krishna now. And so then Rukmini places Radha's hand in Krishna. And then, it's such a wonderful story, this Lalita Madhava. And then Garuda, the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, comes with the 16,100 girls. I mean, I know it's a little bit different story than you hear in the Krishna book. Now, the reason this story is told in such a way is to illustrate the intense mood of love of the gopis in separation or impending separation. I mean, there's different moods that are illustrated in relationship to Krishna and the gopis. One is the impending meeting, Purvarag. Then there's the actual meeting. Then there's the impending separation. For example, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it states, when Krishna is asked, why don't you go back to Vrindavan? You know, he's actually encouraged by the devotees. Why don't you go back to Vrindavan and pacify the residents of Vrindavan? Krishna gives us the ultimate reason that if I went back to Vrindavan, there would be so much anxiety that I was going to leave again. Amazing, isn't it? And so Krishna is thinking, I want to be more compassionate to the gopis and not put them in anxiety because I left for like over 100 years. Of course, they're all still young, and Rukmini is young, and Satyabhama is young. That's brought out in the Krishna book, too, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They never look old. Krishna never looks old. They always look like 16, 18 years of age, which is the best time of age. It's all downhill after that in the material world. So why is it important to understand this mood? Because we are actually meant to maybe not imitate this mood, but to serve Krishna in an intense mood of separation. And, of course, that's brought out in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, many of the verses of the Shishashtaka, but one in particular, Ayananda tanuja kinkuram patitam mam vishame babambudo kripya tava pada pankaja stutta duli sadrasamba chintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. Of course, we're not saying, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal gopi or anything. We're not ready for that one yet. But I'm your eternal servant. Somehow or other, I've fallen down. And actually, I'm giving you a literal translation of this, not like the one in the songbook, into this horrible ocean of birth and death. You know, that's the actual translation. Please fix me as an atom at your lotus feet. And that's the mood in which we should be chanting the holy name of the Lord. This mood of, you know, separation and wanting to meet with Krishna. Very, very, very important, you know, that we think like that. I want to be with Krishna. And based upon that lalyam, which is what I mentioned in the beginning of the class, or the intensity of lalyam, then we will make the same degree of spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada actually said something in this same regard. He said, when we chant Hare Krishna, we should be chanting in the mood of a child crying out for the mother. You know, the child knows no one but Krishna. I'm sorry, the child knows no one but his mother. Just like we have this also statement, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. And so the child is identifying, until they get to the terrible twos. It's not really terrible, because at that time the child differentiates himself or herself from the parents, you know, individuality. But in the beginning, the child knows no one but the mother. You know, there's a sort of unity there, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty amazing. We talk about unity, and sometimes even the word kaivalya is used in relationship to devotional service, which means become one. So there's a sort of unity between the Lord, between Krishna and his devotee. And there's also, you know, there's separate identity too. But let's take a little child. There's a unity between the child and the mother, particularly in the womb, but even right after that. But there's also a difference too, but that's kaivalya. And that's how a pure devotee is, you know. No, I know no one but Krishna. That's an absolute statement, right? No one. That means no one. Zero. Zilch. Shunya. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so no matter what he does. So this is the mood being brought out here in this particular verse and in the story I just told. So we got a minute and a half for questions. Does anyone want to ask questions? Online, you'll get a chance to ask questions after greeting the deities. I think... Well, first of all, we have to realize it's a horrible material world. You know, that's one impetus in the beginning. Get me out of here. You know, I mean, a funny thing, but it was a little bit of my... When I was a young devotee, I would pray, Krishna, please kill me tonight. But, you know how sometimes there's a Christian prayer, I pray the Lord to keep me when I'm sleeping, and then if I die, you know, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. So I was praying the Lord my soul to take. I prayed, please let me die tonight so I can go back to Godhead. Not that I was so miserable in the material world. I really want, it's, when you're new in Krishna consciousness, you know, it's much more intense in many senses. Of course, when you get more advanced, it gets even more intense. But in the middle stage, it's called a complacent stage. So that's one impetus right there for intensity. Another impetus for me is reading about these stories, hearing the love of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeling so much separation from Krishna, he's in the mood of Radharani, of course. He had to have a devotee around just to protect him from hurting himself. I mean, that's really divyonmada, transcendental madness. You have to have someone to protect you because you're going to start jumping in the ocean in the middle of the night. Can you imagine that? Someone with so much love. I mean, of course, that's Mahabhav. I don't think any of us, I mean, at least I don't have that much love for Krishna. Can you imagine having so much love for Krishna that you couldn't sleep at night, not because you're mentally ill, but you couldn't sleep at night, and then you jump into the ocean. You know, it'd be just like if I went over to the swimming pool at Ishwara's house. In the middle of the night, because I was loving Krishna so much, and I was seeing the swimming pool as the Jamuna River. And Lord Chaitanya saw a sand dune as what? He saw the sand dune as Govardhan Hill. He was running after it. Hey, Rad, hey, Braja, Devak, hey, Nanda, Shunokata. Okay.
Yeah.